Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you like No Such Thing as a Fish and think they're too professional and too funny, then keep listening to our podcast.
I Read It OS, your science questions answered.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of I Read It Online Somewhere. We are here every couple of weeks to discuss what we have read online and answer your strange and wonderful science-based questions, like, how does venom clot blood? I'm Amy, and I fail science at school, but luckily for me, I'm joined by two science teachers, Andrew.
Hello.
And Ross.
Hello.
Each week, we look at a science story we've read online and try to answer your questions. If you do want to get in touch with us with your questions, please email us at ireaditos@gmail.com or at ireaditos on all social media. So, this week we read a story all about, is it really safe to leave your phone plugged in, or iPhone specifically, plugged in overnight? So we are all iPhone users.
I am, yes.
So I do you... Also. I can tell you now, Ross just never charges his phone, it would seem. So I know he doesn't charge his phone overnight.
I know. I've seen the no messages in the group chat.
Do you charge your phone, Andrew?
I do. Overnight? It's in charge right now. Like, I charge my phone all the time. Yeah. Like, it's beside my bed. Like, so I plug it in and, yeah, just charges, like, all night.
Yeah, so this article discussed if it was safe to do. Would you guys think it was safe to charge your phone overnight?
I would do, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Like, sit the side of my bed. I don't think.
Because you do hear some horror stories about houses going up in flames and things like that, but actually Apple say, from this article, it's perfectly safe to charge your phone at night as long as you use, basically, their products.
I have a follow-up question. Does that mean it's not safe to charge it during the day?
It's also safe to charge it during the day. I think it's because you would never charge your phone for like 8 hours straight during the day.
Oh, yeah,
pretty much true. What I have to do.
No, Ross charges his phone for half an hour every like hour and a half.
Oh man, is your battery health bad?
I think either that check. Or I play like computer games.
You have a battery health on your phone. So, yeah, so it's not, I don't know, search it. Yeah, but anyway, it's not dangerous to charge your phone at night. Oh. But if you use, like, you know how you can buy cheap chargers off Amazon and stuff that are not Apple affiliated, which we all do because we don't want to spend £20 on a charging cable.
Sitting there going, oh no.
I'm down at 78% on my battery.
Oh wait, on your battery, that's not your battery health though.
No, like that's my maximum capacity is 78%.
Is it really? Wow.
Oh, but how old's your phone, Ross?
4 years now? 3 years?
Is it? Mine's 87 and it's only 2 years old.
So my phone is a year, less than a year old?
Yeah.
Oh, what am I on? How'd you find this?
Yeah, go settings, battery.
Mine's at 95%. So you can have you optimized? Yeah, you've optimized it. So the optimizing thing's good because it will just stop charging your phone at a certain time. So if you put your phone into charge, it will say, right, I'm going to stop charging at 4 a.m. because your phone's going to be charged.
Oh, that's quite good.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, it's quite a funny thing. Like, I do worry sometimes about the charger because I've had it where you can get, like, yeah, you can get cheaper chargers, like out of Poundland and stuff. But very often, I think when I've used them and you plug it in and it goes, this charger is not a licensed product and will not charge. And I'm like, ugh, that's rubbish. But then I get, like, I like a long cable so that I can have it charging at the, like, in the bottom of the power socket of the bed. And then I can, like, have it on bed. But also if I roll over, then I'm not going to pull anything out.
Yeah, we've got one of them in our living room, so you can sort of sit everywhere on the sofa and still charge away.
We have too many chargers just around our house. We've got two in the living room, one in the kitchen.
Do you guys, how, one in the office. You guys, are you guys more safety conscious than I am? So I unplug phone and then just drop the cable. I don't even turn it off.
Well, yeah,
I'm probably asking for a fire.
So you don't actually need to turn it off because inside the plug is a switch mode transformer, which basically, I know, look at me, physics teacher knowledge, which basically means it'll only work if there's something plugged into it. So if you don't have anything plugged in, there's no current going through the circuitry at all.
Does that is that the same as the... So is that in the plug itself, not the wire?
Yeah, so it's in the plug, so with like an iPhone plug, you can't open up. So if you get like your kettle or something, if you've got like an old one, you can unscrew it and there's not much inside the plug. Or if you take your lamp, for example, inside the plug, there's not much there. But inside those plugs, you can't unscrew it, you can't take it apart because there's a whole transformer hidden within the plug.
Ross, you're saying those plugs while Andrew's holding up an Apple plug. Yeah, people don't know he's holding up one.
So I've got like one in my top drawer, and like I didn't even notice it
That you can't unscrew it. There you go.
Yeah. So actually, they've quite a lot of things you can't unscrew anymore because that is the reason people had house fires. Is people would unscrew them for fun. Just clip some wires, put them back in, and then do it wrong, and then that would start a house fire.
So why do we have to learn this in school? You know how you've got your earth cable.
Well,
and
you don't anymore. It's been removed from it? It left with standard grade.
Hey, maybe I would have passed science. If what did they? What was
is
it?
That
earth?
Why?
That's not why I fail science, Andrew. There's many reasons. That was not one of them.
Inability to sit and listen.
I was more meaning. Is that why? Is that why it was removed? Because there's not many plugs. But lots of plugs have...
Your mind has really been blown.
So your challenge tomorrow, Andrew, your homework, is to actually go around and look at your plugs. So most of the plugs now, new plugs, there's, if you take them out the wall, there's a little hatch for a fuse. So you can pop that, you can replace the fuse, but you can't do anything else to the plug. So you can only do it with older stuff.
Why did we need to do it?
Because people would have house fires. Oh, yeah.
No, but why did...
Well, okay, history of plugs, everyone. Right, so way back in the 1930s...
This podcast is taking a turn.
Way back in the 1930s, when you used to buy an appliance, it didn't come with a plug, so you just get a cable. You'd have to buy the plug separately from a hardware store, and then you'd have to wire it yourself and put it in. That caused lots of house fires, so they stopped doing that and sold them with the plugs attached. But you could still take the plug apart. That still caused lots of house fires because people are idiots. So they stopped you being able to get into them at all. So all you can do now is replace the fuse.
Oh,
that's mental.
So there's much less house. So if there's a house fire now, it's not because of the equipment that's plugged in. It's because of a problem with your like stuff behind the wall, basically.
Unless you're not using dodgy cables.
Yeah, so if you use...
They say as well, you know how you've got cables...
Even like dodgy cable, like if you bought a cheap charger, you still can't get into the plug, you can't...
Yeah, I know, but then they fray and things like that. I think Apple ones are actually the worst.
Yeah, we got an IKEA one. That is one of the best chargers I've had.
Yeah, but it's made of like different... It's made of like material, like...
Material.
No, but it's made of almost like clothes material or kind of...
Oh, that's... I've got like a fabric cable.
Yeah, fabric. That's
what
it.
That's yeah,
the word.
I got, but yeah, it's quite good because it's really long. It's the length.
Probably the same one.
Yeah, so you know when you go on holiday and three plugs. You know when you go on holiday and switch off all your plugs, you probably don't need to do that anymore. It's good to save electricity. Don't get that wrong.
Oh, yeah, but, I still kind of...
But people used to switch them off so you didn't have, like, a house fire, but...
Do you remember when you used
to... As long as you're not plugging in stuff from, like, 40 years ago, you're probably okay.
Andrew lives in Sky, though, remember?
Yeah, I do that and then forget I've got, like, smart lights, so then it takes everything off the system when I turn it back on again.
Oh, that's annoying, yeah.
It's really annoying.
Oh. We had that with a power cut, and I was like, oh, no... We need to switch all the lights.
The power comes on in the middle of the night and all the lights come on.
Power cuts when the alarm goes off, the house alarm.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Then it keeps going off.
Oh, that's like backup battery, right?
Yeah, I don't know, it just goes off and it goes back on, the power. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to go off just in case. But yeah, anyway, so that was plugs is what we read online this week.
Yeah, so let's talk about batteries for a bit then, because that was also in the story.
Okay.
So you know when you're out in the cold and your battery just dies for no reason when you're at like 14%?
Yeah.
That's because it's cold.
Yeah, but you can, if you warm it up, warm up your phone, you can put it back on.
Yes, so why?
Yeah.
Because it's warm, I don't know.
Is it, like, I've heard that you can make batteries last longer by putting them in the fridge.
So, okay, there's two things.
That
so,
sounds like I read
old
a...
wives tale.
No, it's true. So a battery will hold its charge if it's cold, but if you use it while it's cold, it will lose its charge quicker. It's actually to do with a chemical reaction that's happening inside the cell. So any cell that you're using, there's a chemical reaction.
Have you really taken your smart pills today?
We're on my subject for a change instead of talking about viruses and bananas. So
questions from the public.
Where was I?
Batteries, cells.
Batteries. Oh yeah. So there's a chemical reaction that's happening inside a cell or a battery, and as Andrew, you'll probably know, if you increase the temperature of a chemical reaction, it will increase the rate of reaction.
Yep.
So.
Andrew's like, sure. Yeah.
Whatever you say.
If you want to use it and you want it to keep being used, you want a sort of warm battery. They're designed to be at room temperature, and they'll work well. But if you want to hold your charge, then you want to have it cold, because even though when it's not plugged in, there'll still be a little bit of stuff sort of leaking through, if that makes sense. And so if it's cold, that leakage through stops as well. So it holds its charge much better. Yeah, so in the 1920s, that's what happened. So that ends the lecture on plugs and batteries.
Thanks for plugging in. Smooth.
Nice. So smooth.
So now we're moving on to why we failed science at school, or you failed science at school, someone failed a science at school. Andrew, over to you.
Hello.
Because I've not read anything.
It's me again. So this week on Tell Me You Failed Science at School Without Telling Me You Failed Science at School, we're talking about alkali water and how you can make your water alkaline. So I don't know if you've seen this, so I saw this on TikTok and I went on a rage. And I watched all the videos and literally it's the same thing. There's this guy, I'm not going to give you his name because we don't want to really give him any more sort of clout. But essentially he was talking about alkali water and how you should make your water more alkaline because it's better for you, because it will cure things like, you know, cancer and disease and dangers. Now, what he does in the video, you may or may not have seen this, but he, it depends what sort of side of TikTok you're on, he pours the water into a sort of beaker or a glass. He then adds in drops. Now, he says that they are pH drops.
It's definitely sodium or something.
Well, so what he does next kind of tells you why it does what it does. So he puts it in, and then he... so, you know, it kind of goes, you know, slight yellow-greenish, because if you didn't know, folks, most waters are, you know, around about pH 7. They're not always directly pH 7. They may have
some... That's neutral.
Yeah, so they may have some sort of salts in them, or they may have, you know, additives that will change them ever so slightly, but they're not going to be wildly that far away from pH 7. However, he then gets a straw and then blows bubbles into the water. Oh. Now, Amy, can you tell me what gas we breathe out?
Carbon.
Wrong. Actually, it's mainly nitrogen.
Carbon dioxide.
Well, carbon dioxide is one of the main gases that we do
think
out.
That's what you breathe out.
It was. It was exactly what I was after. We do also breathe out nitrogen.
You're really making me question.
And oxygen. You actually breathe out more oxygen than carbon dioxide.
Oh, my word.
However, what he's doing is he's actually putting carbon dioxide into the water, which is actually changing the pH of the water by using, I think it's carbonic acid. I think that's.
But
what's the
substance he's putting in before he does that?
Water. Oh, just a pH indicator. Well, that's what he says it is.
But why do you want to make your water alkaline?
Well, it's going to cure. It's going to cure all things like cancer and stuff because you don't want it acidic. However, he then breathes in, and then so he gets these bottles of water to test them out. Then blows bubbles in them, so therefore putting in more carbon dioxide, which changes the pH, makes them more acidic, and then goes, see, that's proof. So, just to clarify, folks, water is perfectly fine. You don't really need to worry about it, as long as you're getting it from a bottle. Most of the time, it has been filtered through lots and lots of rocks.
Or a tap.
Got lots of minerals in it, or tap water.
Reuse your plastic bottles.
But the main thing is, folks, your water's fine. Don't touch it.
Wow, okay.
And if you got it too alkali, that would not be good for you.
No, it's going to burn your inside.
Yeah.
As much as it is too acidic, but... Yep. So there you
go. Just stick to neutral.
Stick to neutral water, just stick to regular water out the tap, Kimtel juice.
Well, thanks for that, Andrew. And now we're moving on to the questions. So this week...
We are going in slow motion.
Ross is really cheeky tonight. The first question is, how does a venom clot blood? Didn't know it clotted blood.
So that is so when the
symbiote
spider or the snake bite you, it will release in its venom, and venom will clot the blood, and it will cause that word from a few weeks ago.
Coagulation.
So the blood will coagulate inside of you, which is why it's a bit of a problem. So it'll turn it into like a jelly substance. So that's why it's a problem.
So it just like can't flow around you then?
Yeah. So does it stop it moving?
Yeah. So it won't be able to flow, and therefore those little bits could potentially coagulate, and then as they travel around the body, you could get a clot, which then has a blockage. Some other venoms are slightly different. They work in different actions, but it kind of as a general rule that like the venom will clot the blood. But you can get some like that will stop metabolic processes. It will stop your sort of body doing its normal cellular jobs, and will kind of get you that way. But yeah, venom does clot blood.
Nice.
Venom, There Will Be Carnage, it will be out in cinemas in November. They're our sponsors this week.
Is that the Tom Hardy?
Yeah.
You wish that was our sponsor.
So midges, when they bite us, are they putting in, they're not putting in like venom, are they putting something into us, do they?
Nope. Midges.
No, they just suck.
No, they just suck.
So why is it itch so much?
So it sucks. It itches. That's your body reacting to it. So what's happening is when those cells are damaged. So as the sort of, let's just call it kind of a needle. As the needle goes in, and comes, what happens is it damages these cells called mast cells, and mast cells produce histamine. So they release histamine. And histamine causes inflammation, so the raised bump, which is itchy. Which is why,
very itchy.
If you have hay fever, you take an antihistamine, because when you have hay fever, your body is releasing histamine into your body.
Okay, so it's my own body that's annoying me.
Yep.
So it's not and even some, the midges. Some people are, some it's not people even are the midges, worse. It's my own body.
Some people are worse than the others.
Yeah, I seem to be getting worse in old age.
Is it not only female ones as well that cause itchiness?
The majority, yeah. I think that's more mosquitoes.
How the hell do they even know who's male and who's female?
Just look at the testes. Gonads.
Gonads.
I'm a midgie. Good luck. Okay, thanks for that. I don't know how we got from that to that. But anyway. Next question is, why does Coke cure a wasp sting?
Oh, nice. It's like a double-double.
Is it because it's acidic?
What's acidic?
I don't know. I just know that for a wasp sting, you're meant to put vinegar on, and for a bee sting, you're meant to put bicarbonate soda.
Well done.
Yeah, good job.
I don't know why.
So your fizzy juice would be your acid. So the sting is kind of alkali. And I suppose, yes, in a pinch, yeah, you would pour some coke on it, and that would cure it. So it causes neutralization. So they cancel each other out, basically.
So it's coke acidic?
Coke is acidic, yeah. Quite acidic, actually.
And bicarbonate of soda, is alkaline-y?
Alkaline, yeah.
What else would be good then to put on a bee sting or a wasp sting?
So shampoo's alkali.
Yep.
Most cleaning products are alkali. Obviously, yeah. Don't put bleach in your hand. So go with something that's designed for your own skin. So, yeah, shampoo.
Yeah, something that's not going to damage you.
And just
much.
Like lemon juice or something for them. Is it true dock leaves don't have any effect at all? They just don't neutralize at all. They just
like
moisten. Yeah.
No, so dock leaves, in terms of using like for nettles. Dock leaves or docking leaves or whatever they are. So one thing, they'll always grow next to the nettles. So you will always find them together. So if you ever do get stung, blah blah blah. But what they're doing is you rubbing it over. You're actually removing the tiny little hairs because it's the hairs that are causing the itchiness.
The itch, okay.
Awesome. Yeah, I once fell into when I was in shorts and t-shirts when I was younger, fell into a whole patch of nettles.
Oh no!
Granny had to call the hospital.
Oh, that's awful.
They were just like have a bath with.
Calamine lotion.
Yeah. That was her.
Because that'll soothe it. Calamine
lotion. I was screaming.
I've got an omission. I have no idea what a dock leaf looks like.
Do you not?
It kind of looks like a Romanian lettuce salad.
Yeah, it's like a big lettuce. It's huge.
It's like a big lettuce leaf. Yeah.
Swiss chard.
It's like what I imagine dinosaurs
actually,
eating.
Aye, it does look like more like chard.
It's what I imagine a dinosaur would eat.
Yes.
I'm getting really itchy eyes.
Dinosaurs eat ferns.
Discussing all this stinging and itching.
Right, okay. Let's move on.
And I can't take antihistamines, so. Okay, so why is it hard to break bones? Next question.
I'll field this one.
Good, because I have no idea. I was going to say, because it'll just hurt your teeth.
This is a biology round.
So it's probably it's the structure of your bones. So your bones are, they have like quite a cool structure. They have a structure of a crunchy. We all know the structure of a crunchy.
Yeah, little bubbles.
Bubbles in the middle, and then on the outside, solid chocolate. Sort of chocolate, and the outside bit of the kind of crunchy bit. And that's all it is. That's what builds the strength, is that you've got... You actually have a slightly thicker outside than you do the crunchy bit in the middle. But you do... Oh. That is kind of how your bones are in the middle. And that's where you're...
So did your bone marrow like that? I thought bone marrow was like juicier.
So the bone marrow is inside of the bubble stuff, and that's sort of the crunchy bit in the middle, essentially the honeycomb in the middle, is easier to scrape out. This sounds really gross, but is easier to scrape out.
Well, people eat it and stuff.
But bone marrow itself is pretty it's protein and it's blood essentially, and that's the bit that a dog licks when it gets
that's
a bone.
Yeah, so that's what they're trying to crunch through to.
Yeah,
oh, so they're not bothered about the.
Too bothered about it. No.
Oh. No. Do you know kids have got really strong, but like stronger bones than adults?
I thought they had flexible bones.
No, the amount of times
they don't
that
break.
I've, yeah, the amount of times I've googled, if Harris has fallen over, been like, has he broken a rib? Has he broken his nose? And they're like, it's so rare for them to break.
Yeah,
bone.
It is.
But if you think about it, the older you get,
like
think about older people, like they just like slip and they've broken a hip.
Your calcium content, is reduced as you get older. So it's always good to maintain high, not too high, because too high will cause you to get, I think it's calcium stones. But yeah, you want sort of, relatively big amounts of calcium in your diet, so plenty of dairy, because that's got then, but also dairy and then sunlight, because you need vitamin D to absorb it. So
okay, so have both, take a multivitamin. And then the last question we're going to finish on is, do you get sucked out of a plane if you flush the toilet while sitting on it?
I've never flushed the toilet when I sat on it in the plane. Oh, wait, hold on. That sounds really bad. Like, I have obviously flushed the toilet afterwards, but I've never been sitting on it when I flushed it. There you go.
Yeah, I think because I was just... Yeah, you close the lid and then you... Because yeah. I think the flush is behind the lid, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't allow people... They wouldn't allow them on the plane if they did that.
Because there is a big as it feels like it's getting sucked away.
Yeah, but it's not going to go into the air. It will go into
Oh, no, it doesn't. It used to. It doesn't anymore go into
it. It doesn't anymore, yeah. Have it goes into like a cassette.
What's the film? Catch Me If You Can. When he's coming back and he does his last escape and he unscrews the toilet and then goes out and he gets onto like the plane's wheels when it's about to land. And does a run. It's quite impressive. Don't try it, but...
It's a bit like a caravan type toilet. It's like a chemical toilet.
Yeah.
But I think there is a pressure difference so that it can pull
There is some sort of sucking, it feels like.
Yeah, but I don't think... You won't get sucked out of the plane.
Will my bubbles get sucked out?
Probably not. Yeah. They're quite well attached on the inside. But the...
So same with train toilets, is it not?
Yeah, they're the
same. Train toilets, I think, are the same.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you last time I was on a plane or a train, so...
An automobile?
You were on a steam train.
I was on a... Yeah, but they didn't
have
toilets.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, you were on a train like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but they didn't have toilets. Oh, they did, but I went to the toilet at the train station.
Ah, right. Oh, I see.
So you weren't allowed to go to the toilet in the train station there, so I'm wondering if they just dropped on the track.
No, I don't think they can. I don't think you're allowed to. I think they have to. It has to go into like a container.
But you are at loads of trains. You're not allowed to go to the toilet while the train's
in the station.
Yeah, why is that?
I wonder. Maybe it's because there's no suction.
Maybe it needs to be on.
Maybe. Well, I mean, if you know how train toilets work and want to tell us maybe a little bit more information on that, then please do get in touch at our email address, iReaditOS@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at iReaditOS. And please do tell others about our podcast and leave us a review. It helps us in the charts and it allows us to find more podcasts and the podcast world. Also, we want to have a sort of big shout out to our Grab Us a Coffee. So thank you very much if you have grabbed us a coffee. We very much appreciate it. It is pumpkin spice latte season, after all. So thank you very much, and we will see you next week. Bye.
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 Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.